The bottom line for God's blessing, you gotta long for him. You gotta long for his truth to transform you authentically. And Moses says, and these words that I command you today, he says, shall be on your heart. Moses fully understands the truth of God. It just can't be information, right? Information must result in transformation.
We are back today at Live in the Light in our series called Listen and Love. We are going through Deuteronomy together and the words of Moses. If you missed the first bit of this series, you can go to our website and listen to these messages at any time. In fact, we encourage you to do so and maybe drop us a line. Let us know where you're listening from and what God is teaching you right now through Live in the Light. You can do all of these things at liveinthelight.com. Today we are in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, and learning about the bottom line of God's blessing. Yesterday we went over the fact that our God is God alone, the one true God. Today we will go over loving the Lord and his truth, and these are all essential parts of a Christ follower. Moses is using his last words to his people to leave behind such an important message. So let's get right back into it. Here's Pastor Robbie.
You listen to him, you will be blessed. You wander away from him and you're in serious trouble. And of course, the New Testament speaks of this as well. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Do not let the world shape you or mold you. Don't do that. Rather be transformed. How? How is my life transformed? By the renewal of your mind. When you renew your mind, then all of a sudden you are able to test and to discern what is the will of God. When you discern the will of God, then you know what's pleasing to God. When you live a life that's pleasing to God, you know the blessing of God. Let's break it down this way right here. I love sequences in Scripture, always trying to teach sequences as we see them in Scripture. There's one here for sure. Look at how does transformation come? The base start of transformation is renewal of the mind. We have to cleanse our minds from the filth of the world. When we do that and we have God's truth, again, filtered through our mind, because how we think ultimately determines the fruit of our lives. Whatever we fill our minds with will determine the fruit of our lives. So renewing our mind leads to discerning of God's will. When I can discern God's will from the truth of God, then I will know God's blessing. Here's what a lot of people do. A lot of people are like, I want God's blessing. I want God's blessing. Well, so do I. But you can't know God's blessing. You know God's will. If you want to know God's will, you got to know God's word. You got to renew your mind. This is what I've always taught here as well. When I wake up in the morning, man, I got to take my spiritual shower. If I don't take my spiritual shower, I'm in trouble because I have been flooded and bombarded with the thoughts of the culture and the world and evil on a daily basis. And I got to wake up, man, and cleanse the filth from my mind so I can think clearly and see with purity what God's will is, what his truth is. And therefore I know the path to follow. And then I know I'm on the track to God's blessing, to know what pleases God. Telling you, you got to take your spiritual shower. Hey, don't be surprised. If you're not taking your spiritual shower and you're letting the word of God renew your mind, of course you're going to miss out on God's blessing because you're not hearing God's voice. You're not hearing God's voice. You don't know God's path or will. Don't know God's path or will. Then how can you possibly end up in discerning again what is good, acceptable, and perfect to the Lord? In some ways, so not easy, not easy. But man, it is straightforward and it is true. Moses is like, he's like, people. You have to listen to the Lord. The temptation's every day coming around you. You gotta listen to the Lord. Watch out, man, the culture's coming in. But you follow God, he's like, I like your chances. I like them a lot. Bottom line for God's blessing, so simple yet so profound. Listen to the Lord alone, for he is God alone. Secondly, the bottom line for God's blessing, love the Lord wholeheartedly, not superficially. Love the Lord wholeheartedly, not superficially. Look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says this, one of the most famous verses in all Scripture. It's certainly the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay, now, this makes sense in response to the one true God. We are saved in Jesus Christ, the one true God who has chosen us and rescued us and adopted us and redeemed us and saved us, right? The response to the God who has done that for us, the one response we would have for someone who saved us from hell itself is love. Love the one who has ransomed us and set us free. So we're learning here, careful. The ultimate motivation for obedience is love. Love motivates us for obedience. We consider all that God has done. You know what's so interesting? So I don't have, like, my Bible's open to Deuteronomy 5 and 6. I don't have to turn a page. Some of you might have to turn one page. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 6 right now. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. So this is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And notice what starts before God gives the Ten Commandments. Look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now notice the first Exodus 20, same thing. Notice what God says to start. God here is giving the indicative, the declaration of what he's done. I have set you free. I have set you free from slavery. I have purchased you out of your bondage. I mean, this is obviously what the gospel is for us in Jesus Christ. You were enslaved in sin. You were in bondage in chains, but Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead. You have been set free. You cannot die. You have been saved by Jesus Christ. This is the beginning before the commands come. So the indicative, what's happened in the past, the declaration, now watch, now here comes the imperative. Look at Deuteronomy 5 verse 7 now. Look at, now we have the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, and the rest follow. You see what's happening right here, church? Very, very, very important, right? We teach this a lot. We need to teach this a lot. Before the imperative is the indicative. Before the obligation. See, a lot of people who don't know the Bible, they just hear rules and I gotta try harder. I gotta do it. No. Stop for a second. Why are you commanded to follow Christ in this way? Well, the New Testament says it all the time. Colossians 3. If you have been raised with Christ, meaning if you've been set free from slavery in Egypt, so to speak, if you've been set free from sin, if then you've been raised with Christ, that's the condition. If this is your reality, now set your mind on things above. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ with your entire life. He has given you this. Now in love, respond with obedience to him. See, that changes everything. And many don't understand this. The motivation for obedience to God is not that he'll like us more. The motivation for obedience is the love that has soaked our lives. And now the love we want to give back in return. Moses is like, people, you got to get this, man. God has rescued you from slavery. He has redeemed you. He's bought you. He's purchased you from this. Now love him in return. Love, look at all he's given to you. Love him with, notice, heart, all soul, all might, it says in verse 5. A heart here, the seat of the will. The heart determines our affections and our will. A soul here, our very life or vitality. It's our very being. Might here is a person's full capacity. Love the Lord with all your capacity, all your abilities, all your resources. It's no surprise then in 2 Kings, we have a description of King Josiah. Now these things are gonna pop now. They're gonna pop in new ways. It says about Josiah, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Sound familiar? According to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Apparently, Josiah knew the blessing of God, and the single greatest reason for this was his love for the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. To know the blessing of God, we will love him wholeheartedly. I want you to notice, if we're back to chapter 6, verse 5, I want you to notice all the personal pronouns in verse 5. You, your. This love is not emotional, it's relational. Our God is intensely personal and relational. Even you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord. Amazing. Your God, your God. You belong to him. And listen, astoundingly, he belongs to you. That's truth. We say this truth. We sing this truth. One of the great hymns, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, I do now receive, and more than all in him I find. He has granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine. Look at this line right here. I am his. We're like, yeah. But then this line's always just blessed me so much. And he, I belong to him and he belongs to me. Wow. Our God is intensely personal. We got to think about this more. We got to discipline ourselves. Like, he loves us and is with us. He sent his spirit to live in us. If we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how powerful and awesome that is. So again, listen, love is the foundation for obedience. I came across a cute little story this week that relates significantly to this. I read this week about a 78-year-old woman. Her name was Aleda Houston of Rotterdam, who had been smoking for 50 years. For most of that time, she had been trying to give up the habit, and at last, she finally succeeded after 50 years of smoking. What was her secret? Well, her secret was a 79-year-old man named Leo Jansen proposed marriage but refused to go through with the wedding until Aleda gave up smoking. And Aleda said, "Willpower was never enough to get me off the habit. Love made me do it." Awesome. Okay, the power of love, right? So again, let's put this spiritually. This is why Matt Papa, I think others have said it too, Matt Papa said this. This is for some here right now, massively important. He says this, we worship our way into sin and we will worship our way out of sin. See what he's saying there? Incredibly astute, so important spiritually, biblically. Why do we go into sin? Well, at some point, sin, we love sin more than Christ. We are worshiping, we give our mind, affections, and our will towards this sinful habit, so we worship our way into this sin that we think somehow is going to satisfy, but it starts to destroy us. The most powerful way to get out of habitual sin, we must change our worship. You can develop techniques and strategies to be helpful, and there's counseling techniques, again, yes, but the ultimate freedom from the bondage of sin is your worship changes from sin to Christ. So when your affections, you truly love God through repentance and faith, repenting of false worship and worship of evil, and you truly set your eyes upon Jesus Christ and worship him, that's what pulls you away from sin into light. That is the power that God gives in genuine worship to overcome such evil and bondage again within our lives. We live our lives for that which we ultimately love. This is why Augustine said this. He says, love God and do what you please. You're like, what? That sounds kind of weird. Love God. Now listen, he's not a license for self-indulgence. What he's saying is same in line with Psalm 34. Delight yourselves in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? How do we interpret that? When we love God truly, then we will follow what God wants. Love God, do what you please. If I'm truly filled with love for God, then I will follow his will. That's what he's saying. When I delight myself in the Lord, I get the desires of my heart because what God desires, I desire. And if I desire what God desires, well, then I will see that fulfilled within my life. If I don't love God, I desire sin. That's a whole different story. See what's happening here? Love is the powerful, again, motivation for obedience. The bottom line for God's blessing is to love him wholeheartedly. And just before we move on from this point, I want to just take a couple of moments for some kind of biblical counseling 101 right here. And I think this is very helpful and very important, okay? Here's what superficial devotion looks like. And this is so widespread within Christendom. I pray it's not as widespread in this church, but it's definitely relevant for us right now. Superficial devotion looks like this. Here's my heart, right? And then in my life, I have all these compartments and they're all kind of evenly spread, maybe some a little more than others, but essentially my heart, and I give my heart to social media. I give my heart to work, family, entertainment. God is one of the compartments, but that's the problem. He's just one among 10 or whatever. I give my heart to school. I give my heart to the Leafs. I give my heart to finances. And these things don't have to be bad. But again, if God's just one among 10, that's the problem. So if you want to continue to live a superficial devoted life to God, then let him continue to be one of 10, let's say. That's why so many people do not have a fire for Jesus Christ, because he's just one of a bunch of things in their lives and they kind of treat them all the same. Wholehearted devotion, next one, looks like this. God's not one of it. He is everything. Love God, heart, soul, mind, he is your entire life. And what happens now when he's at the center, all your heart, all your soul, all your might, then all these other things get determined by God, who is truly the center, again, of your heart, soul, strength, might, mind. This is when wholehearted devotion, so then God filters school, God filters hobbies, God, I'm not sure what he says about the Leafs, God filters finances, God says family, whatever. See, this is the key for wholehearted devotion. Now, what we just went through is so important. Okay, again, there's so many answers right now. Why am I not sensing God the way I think I should? How come I'm not seeing the things I want to see? How come my life isn't going? How come when I read, listen, if God is just one part of 10 other things or 15, whatever in your life, well, then you've watered him down completely. This is the answer. If you're okay for God to be one compartment of many, I don't know what to say. Right? Other than you will not know God's blessing. It's so clear in scripture. The single greatest commandment, God, heart. It's the greatest commandment for a reason. It impacts everything else we do and everything else we are. So again, like I find these moments, I like to pause a little bit because as the Holy Spirit's working, it's so important, brother, sister, like, if the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, yes, God, you've been one compartment in my life for many years now. Like, it's so important not to be like, well, you know, excuses and this. Just say, Lord, you're right. Lord, I confess my sin. I repent. It's true. God, I grew up in the Anglican Church, and one of the prayers we prayed almost every week was, Lord, I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. Have mercy upon me. You see, again, it's like, there's sins of commission, which we're very familiar with. It's sins that we commit, but there's sins of omission, good left undone. We are called to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we fail to do that. That's a sin of omission. So the mature right now, if the Lord's got a laser beam on your heart and he's working on you right now, you don't excuse it away. You just say, yes, Lord, you're right. Father, forgive me. I haven't given you my all, but I desire to do. I desire to change today. I want to know your blessing, Lord. And you are the very definition of blessing. So the more I have of you, then the more I have your blessing. It won't be easier. It'll just be infinitely better. Infinitely better. Moses is like, people, you got to know this. You got to know this. Again, you got to listen to him. You got to love him. Thirdly, finally, this, the bottom line for God's blessing, you got to long for him. You got to long for his truth to transform you authentically. Look at verse 6 now. And Moses says, and these words that I command you today, Moses just gets it, eh? I mean, he so gets it. He says, shall be on your heart. I mean, of course Moses gets it. Moses talked to God face to face. Moses knows everything comes down to the heart. Moses fully understands the truth of God. It just can't be information, right? Information must result in transformation. Well, let's go to the New Testament, the example of the Pharisees. The Pharisees had all this information. They could recite so many passages of scripture and elsewhere, but it stayed as information, legalistic information. And they walked around as big Bible heads. They're like, hey, look at us. We're so smart. And they're so proud and self-righteous and all that. These massive Bible heads, but their hearts were not changed. These tiny little hearts, massive head, tiny heart, stone cold heart, massive Bible head. What good is that? Good for nothing, man. It's good for nothing if it doesn't impact your heart. And that's what the Lord is saying to us even right now as well. Information must result in transformation. This is why religion is so devastating. You say, what do you mean by religion? Ritualism, legalism. There's no life in legalism. It's all about rules made by man, trying to become, you know, in line with rules, but there's no actual change within our hearts and lives. Devastating, just devastating. for anyone who's in that system, which a lot of people across this world are. So whether you think this is relevant today or not, you got to believe there's so many people today, like, again, I don't know, here, like, but in this land right now, so many people have parts of information, but they've never truly experienced the transformation of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God to see fruit within their lives. Had a conversation just again recently, a friend I've been talking to a lot about the gospel in recent days, weeks, months, and another opportunity and time to be able to point out to him, like there's stuff he believes in his head, but say, bro, it has to become relationship. Like really what it came down to, if you know you truly believe in Jesus Christ, when it's more than just an intellectual agreement, but Jesus has actually become Lord of your life. When Jesus becomes, you even had to repeat the Lord, Jesus now is ruling your life. You have given everything to him. You listen to him, you love him, and you long for him to transform you. You have not tried to earn your salvation. You have believed in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. You are born again. You are made new. You start to change. The fruit, the word of God starts to bear fruit from your life. That's why Moses says these words got to be in your heart. Brothers, sisters, they got to be on your heart. So what happens? The word of God lives in us that the word of God might come from us, right? That's what happens. So when the word of God is truly in your heart, right? You're walking through life and people bump into you and the word spills out of you because it's truly in you, right? Like, hey, Paul, sorry about that, man. And God's word spills over onto their lives. And that's what's happening in verses 7-9. Take a look here, right? This is familiar passage. Again, you shall teach your children diligently, right? You shall talk of them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise, right? So God's word is in you. It just comes from you. Sitting, standing, walking, lying down, rising. It's in you. It's just there. It comes out. Not perfectly, but consistently. The power. Remember this quote, I love this quote so much. Many have marked their Bibles, but have their Bibles marked them? Many have marked their Bibles, but have their Bibles marked them? You can do lots of underlining in your Bible, but has your Bible underlined your heart? Has the Word of God actually changed and transformed you? That you know the fruit is there. Moses knows this has to happen if you're good. If you want to know God's blessing, this has to happen. You got to go from head. It's got to get to heart. It's got to actually change you. Moses, I love Moses' leadership here. He so badly wants the people to make it. The passion, the urgency, again, just gets to the bottom line of what is most important. He so wants the people to get it. Listen, some people would get it. Joshua, massively mentored by Moses. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, he's standing on the edge of the promised land and listen to what Joshua says, again, to the people of God. He says this book of the law, you shall meditate on it day and night. Should never depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will find good success. Look at that. Again, see another sequence here. Let's mark this up a little bit. Notice again, meditate on the word. The book of the law, it's got to be on your heart. When it gets on your heart, that leads to obedience to what it says. Why? Because you love. Heart leads to love. Right? And then when obedience to the word of love for God, that guarantees success from the word and God's blessing. And again, another one. Like, I want God's blessing. I want God's blessing. Yes, so do I. But back it up for a second. You want God's blessing, obedience to his word and loving him. You want obedience to love. It starts from meditating on the word. Again, your heart engaged for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a secret, but this is the utter foundation to the blessing of God within our lives. Now, as I say this right now, okay, and as we go through that, I know there are so many right now. There's so many right now. This isn't happening. Not really. I pray for many it is, but for many it's not. Can God be any clearer today? Again, at some point, we just have to admit, God, you know what? I don't want your blessing. I'd rather be blessed by the world than blessed by you. I believe the blessing of the world is better than the blessing of God. At some point, we have to admit that. Like at some point, because the way we have lived, we've heard these messages, how much clearer can we be today? How much more clear do you want the blessing of God? And we understand the path, and we walk out and we choose not to follow that. Then we just have to admit to ourselves, I just don't want the blessing of God. I want the blessing of the world and sin more than that. We just have to be honest. Like, stop living a lie. Stop pretending something. Like, I don't know what else to say about this right now. But maybe one of the turning points is just saying, yes. Up until this point, if I don't change through this, then I'm just proving with my life that I desire the world more than Jesus. I desire my sin more than righteousness. But for those who are listening, for those that the Lord is really working in, the Holy Spirit speaking to, it's just clear again. It's so clear. Just like, Father, I want my life to experience your blessing. It's not going to stay. One more time, Robbie's being really clear. So I'll be easier, infinitely better. I want to know your blessing in my life. And he's like, okay, child, let's go. You got to listen to me. Listen to the Lord. Do not listen to Taylor Swift, okay? Like, for real, do not listen to her or celebrities that, A.W. Tozer said this. He says, like, in education, it's one fallen man instructing another fallen head. One fallen head instructing another fallen head. Like, it's so true. Listen to people who are dead, don't know Christ, don't know the word, don't care, and oppose. And we're going to get our lead in life from them? Crazy town, bro. Crazy town. Don't do that. Listen to the Lord alone. And the moment Jesus Christ returns, it's like, I listen to him. Let's go. I listen to him. That's going to be a good day. Secondly, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Wholeheartedly, not superficially. Let's get deeper. Let's make it real. Not going to be perfect, but let's make it real. Let's get going for him who actually counts and satisfies. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste the world, right? You taste the world and it's like, right? You taste Jesus Christ, like, oh man, this is what life can be like. Yeah, I know. Not easier, just better. You notice I keep saying that, right? Because again, you got to know what Jesus says. Life in Christ is not going to be a smoother path. It'll just be incredibly wonderful and blessed. But the easier path is following the way of the world, where you can feed on all the crud that the world offers. Easier, much easier. Thirdly, long for his truth to transform you. Long. Lord, may your word truly be in my heart. You bump into me and it spills out of me. Praise God. Listen. This is the foundation for God's blessing within our life. The only question that remains is, who wants it? That's the only question. Who wants it? Who wants the Lord and what he promises to give for those who seek him? Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, I pray that hundreds want you. Hundreds want you right now. Not the world, not sin, not the lies of the enemy or the devil. They want you. They want you. Lord, I pray this church wants you. We want your blessing. Want your blessing within our homes, our lives, our marriages, our families, our groups, our church. Want your blessing. And you've been so clear. Okay, children, you want my blessing. Here it is. You got to listen to me, love me, and long for me. Long for my truth. So this is what we tried to do today. I believe this is so foundational, and I pray that you will use it. Hey, Live in the Light listeners, Robbie Simons here. Hey, again, as the Christmas season is upon us and the Advent season, this is an incredible opportunity to draw close again to the power and the truth of the Incarnation. And on that note, I've been blessed to be able to write an Advent devotional called God With Us, Investigating into the Power and the Glories of the Incarnation. You can find a copy on Amazon.ca or Amazon.com. We would love for that to be something that you get your hands on to encourage you, again, to unpack the reality, the power, and the beauty of the Incarnation this season. Again, Advent devotional, 25 days, growing closer to Jesus. Again, called God With Us. You can find that on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. God bless you this Christmas season.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light, as you are in the light.